Please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1294, 1294, and we'll begin with verse 12 and read through verse 16, the 16th verse being the text verse for this morning's message. Then let's stand, please, as we commonly do here, for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read the verses responsively. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And now together on the text verse, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray. Father, it's our responsibility now to listen. Every one of us here has that responsibility, and help us to feel keenly our debt to Thee, that we might listen, because this is Your Word. This is that which You gave and preserved at very great cost to many lives. And so help us to realize what we have in Thy Word, to listen to that which You've given our preacher to tell us from Thy Word. And so help us today. We need what You've given to our preacher, and our preacher needs us to listen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Without your turning to it, let me read for you our text this morning. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I think I'm going to show you something in that verse today that 95% of you have never noticed. However, it's so simple that it's overlooked and hidden in the great truths. Sometimes we are so busy looking for the big nuggets, we do not see the little ones. This is one of those truths that I've been looking forward to preaching for a number of weeks. As you know, I study constantly. I mean that. I keep my study stuff with me. I don't read books hardly at all anymore about sermons. I read biographies, but I don't even own a set of commentaries. I gave mine away. And, of course, every time I found a verse I couldn't understand, neither could the commentary understand it. And so I don't own a set of commentaries. But I've been looking forward. I'm constantly preparing. In fact, this morning, well, you think I'm preparing this sermon. I was preparing a Bible study for 2 weeks from now. And but this morning, I promise you, if you listen to me, if you're a Christian and you love God even a little bit, you'll delight in the truth that I'm going to give you. It says, let us find grace, let us find grace to help in time of need. Father, I believe this morning that what I'm going to say is needed. If I did not get another business. So I pray if it's needed that You'd help the people to listen. I cannot help them. You cannot help them through me unless they pay attention. So hush every whispering teenager. Alert every weary senior saint. Give me the mind of every busy person occupied with so many things in life. Please, so I can be a help. That's all I ask. That's all I ever ask. I never have asked You for a good sermon. That's not even a part of my prayer list. I'm not even interested in being a good preacher. I'm just interested in the people before me getting what they need while I preach. May it be so today. Amen. I have a sermon I preached once. I have never preached it again until pastor school. I used it for a lesson. And in that sermon, I told you about a little magnet thing. It's like the kind of thing you put on a refrigerator door. Little magnet thing, and it was O'Hare Field Airport. And I saw it, and I couldn't believe what I saw. It said, and I quote, "A leader is one who hides his panic. A leader is one who hides his panic. I panic like you panic. I fear like you fear. One of us has to keep our composure. And since you don't, I'm the only one left." So often, and listen to me very carefully, so often I speak to the suffering, the burdened, the heartbroken, and the hurting. Today I'm changing directions. I'm speaking today to those who presently have no adversity. I'm speaking today to those who presently carry no heavy burden, bear no heavy load, and today know no heartbreak. But since it comes to all of us, there's one thing you know, it is coming. You're going to face your heartbreak. You're going to have your burden to bear. You're going to walk away from the silent city of the dead and leave the dearest of life to you there. It's coming. Naturally, the battle will come. The body will decay. Loved ones will pass away. You will be betrayed. You will have a heartbreak. Naturally, you fear it. You look at the suffering of others, and you say, I couldn't take what she takes. I couldn't endure what she's enduring. I couldn't hold up under what he's holding, under which he's holding up. I could not do it. The other day, Ms. Howes and I went to see Paul O'Brien. And Paul was suffering terribly. I miss him sitting up there in his place where he usually is for years. And Paul O'Brien is a little older than I am. And he's had now two strokes, I think. Isn't that right? Two strokes. And Paul was suffering in the hospital. And he was fighting. He wasn't really aware. And he was fighting like that with his arms, obviously hurting. And Ms. Howes and I, that day, we'd heard some other sad news about some older people our age or older. We went home, and she was rather quiet. And a woman's hardly ever quiet. So I knew she was sick or something. But she was rather quiet. And I said, "What? You're a little bit quiet." And she said, "Well, I'm thinking that suffering and death are as much a part of life as anything. It's part of life." And I said to her, or I asked her, I said, "When you looked at Paul, did you see me? Did you see me?" It ever dawn on you that a woman 71, I'm 39 years of age, ever dawn on you a woman that's married to a man that's nearer 74 than he is 73, wonders how long it'll be before he's there? Ever dawn on you that we fear too? Ever dawn on you that we dread also? Ever dawn on you that we have our own worries just like you do? Well, you say, what's the difference in us and you? We hide our panic. You say, do you ever panic? Sure. Regular part of my daily schedule. Sure I do. Please sit down over here. We have folks want to hear. But hey, sit down. Ma'am, sir, would you please sit there? Folks behind you are not able to hear. So, the leader is one who hides his panic. So let me speak to myself. Let me go reach out in the end of the sermon and bring it up to the front. Don't get your hopes up. Because I'm saving the front for the end. I said this at pastor school. I
I fear. I dread the day when I have to walk to preach the last sermon here, knowing it's my last one. I know it's not many years away, and I fear that. I dread it. I fear a stroke. I don't know why, but that's one of my great fears, is a stroke. I fear Mrs. Hyams. I have some fears just like you do. But honestly, I cut up, I enjoy life, but undercurrent, it's always there. I don't want to be in a wheelchair down here somewhere, looking up, unable to preach behind my pulpit again. I don't want that. I fear that. I hate to even say this, but I fear my heart condition. Something's wrong in here. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to go back and check it. Last time I went to the doctor, he gave me bad news. I don't like these fundamental doctors. I want a liberal doctor who says everything's all right. But to say that I don't worry about it is silly. Of course I worry about it. I wonder every time I have a little pain here. I wonder, which is about every 5 minutes, I wonder what's going on in there. Now, let me tell you something wonderful. I can't wait to get to it. Let me speak to myself this morning, and let me speak to all of us who know it's coming. We dread its coming. We even fear its coming. And perhaps wonder if we can take it when it comes. Somebody told me about the last time that Dr. Robertson, Ms. Robertson, walked out Highland Park Baptist Church as pastor. They said Dr. Robertson preached that night, had the closing prayer, and he and Ms. Robertson walked out the center aisle together. That broke my heart. Now, let me help you. Hebrews 4:16. Don't turn to it. Listen to what I'm going to say. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain help, find grace to help in time of need. Now follow me carefully. Find grace to help when? In time of need. Doesn't say before the time of need. In time of need. Hey, I'm about to shout. The grace comes in the need, not before the need. Of course you can't see how you could take what she takes, because the grace doesn't come before the need. It comes in the time of need. It could be translated this way. Grace to help comes at the time of need. Not before or not late. Grace is never tardy. And grace is never early. Grace is always on time. Come boldly to the throne of grace, you will find grace to help in time of need. Or, let's put it this way, grace comes in time. Now, here's the title of my sermon. This is what I'm waiting for. I've checked it. I've absolutely checked the words. Here's what it means. Grace comes, are you ready? In the nick of time. That's what it means. Grace comes in the nick of time. So, when I preach my last sermon here, in the nick of time, I'll be able to take it. And when you face what you dread, you don't have grace to face it now, but grace arrives in the nick of time. Of course you couldn't take it now. You don't have to take it now. But when it comes, grace won't come early, but thank God grace won't come late. It comes in the nick of time. We may find grace to help at the nick of time. Folks all over this room this morning, could say, I dreaded something. I dreaded it. I hated to see it come. I knew it was coming, but as the cloud got darker and darker and closer and closer, I can't handle it. I can't face it. I can't face it. But when it got there, grace came in the nick of time. Let me help you again. One of my favorite verses, I used it last Sunday. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Hear me now. But will not suffer you to be tempted above the evil, but will, with the temptation, with the testing, also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now follow me. It does not say that he comes because before it says with the temptation, also make a way to escape, the material way. Notice, with the testing, not before the testing, not after testing, but when the testing comes, and the heartache comes, and the death of the loved one comes, and the bad news about your health comes, you hear me now, I'm telling you, an old man's talking to what he's talking about. Grace will not come early. It will not come late. But you look at it and you say, oh, I can't. And grace says, here I am. And you say, wow, just in the nick of time. So you say, I couldn't do that. Oh, yes, you could. I can't take it. Oh, yes, you can. You, because grace will come in the nick of time. I've seen the enemy approaching and wondered if I could take it when he got there. But grace came in the nick of time. I've seen the black clouds gathering time and time again and wondered if I could bear up in the storm, if I could take the load, carry the burden, weather the storm. I wondered, but I've got some testimony to give you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not telling you what I've heard. I'm telling you what I know. In every storm, in every burden, in every heartache, though I dreaded to see it coming, I hated it and wondered if I could take it. Bless God, when it came, grace came in the nick of time. I felt that I could not take it. And by the way, I have found that the hardest part is what you're going through now. Waiting. Knowing. Dreading. You've seen it again and again, Brother Colston, in your wonderful ministry. You see people, and the loved one sits beside the bed, waiting for the angels to come and take the spirit of the one who's about to go to the other land. I can't bear it. I can't bear it. Oh, yes, you can bear it, because grace comes in the nick of time, and His power comes in the nick of time, and His strength comes in the nick of time. But the worst part is dreading it, because the grace is not there for what you know is going to come. But bless God, when you get there, let me announce to you, grace will be there when you get there in the nick of time. In the nick of time. When Stephen was stoned, when did he see Jesus? In the nick of time. When they picked up the stones to throw him at him, he didn't see Jesus. When they said, we're going to stone you, he didn't see Jesus. But when the stones began to pelt on his body, he looked up and there was the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Hey, Jesus got there in the nick of time. Well, this would be a good story for a child's book, a mystery story about Superman flying and getting there in the nick of time. Bless God, a long time before there ever was a so-called Superman. We have a Superman who always arrives in the nick of time. Always does. When the Hebrew children were threatened, they saw no fourth person in the fiery furnace. When they were being tried, they saw no fourth man in the Son of Man in the fiery furnace. When they were looking at the fire about to be cast in, they saw, and you can imagine, they didn't say, well, bless God, we're glad we're going to suffer for Jesus. They didn't do it. They said, good night in the morning, holy cow, in the name of, what's that guy's name? The broadcaster. Hey, you know your Bible, don't you, fella? But when did they see, when was the fourth man, or the fourth person seen in the fire furnace? Brother, they got in the fire furnace, and Jesus came in the nick of time. And John was on Patmos in exile. When he was, not before exile, not when he threatened exile, not on the way to exile, but when he got there, Jesus came in the nick of time. When Joshua was about to fight the battle into the promised land, the night before the battle, Bible says there came an unseen captain. He didn't come back down the wilderness. He didn't come a mile away from the promised land. But when they came to the door of the promised land and it's time for the battle, Jesus, the unseen captain, got there in the nick of time. And Paul was stoned in Lystra. Jesus came in the nick of time. Now, I'm talking to folks today. Not you folks that are carrying a heavy burden. You can say amen to what I'm saying. You folks that are in the battle, you can say amen to what I'm saying. But you folks that are know it's coming, maybe you know when it's coming. Maybe you're sure it's on the way. Maybe you know that someday the clouds will come, but you don't know when, or maybe the cloud is on its way now, like a Texas tornado. I've seen it time and time again. I've gotten up on the rooftop of a house and watched the flat plains of Texas and seen a funnel cloud coming our direction. And I've watched it, and I watched the lumber of the houses strewn across the field, across the yards, and across the streets. And I've seen it coming, and I knew it was coming. And that's where some of you are this morning. The funnel cloud is coming. The darkness is coming. You know something bad is going to come. It's not here yet. The burden is not here yet, but you know it's on the way. Let me tell you, ask Randy Rogers, ask Mrs. Rogers, ask Mrs. Evans, ask anybody who's carrying the load now. Bless God, when the load gets there, the hero always gets there in the nick of time. I don't want to die. I love life. You'll find few people that love life as much as I do. I love life. And I don't want to die. I've said before, I don't want anybody deciding what color shirt I wear. You guys, you sissy guys. Your wife puts out your clothes in the morning. I lost a few more members right there. Been married 54 and a half years. She ain't never put out nothing for me yet. Well, she has put out nothing. But maybe I put out something. I decide what I wear. And I don't want John Alt dressing me. I don't want to die. I'm not afraid of where I'm going. I know where I'm going. It's done. The great transaction is done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions right and blessed, He's prepared for me a place. All settled. I'm on my ticket is punched. I'm going to heaven when I die. But I'd love Brother Jesus come and take me. The other day, somebody gave me a tape of Spurgeon. I know they made tapes back in those days, but it was Spurgeon on tape. Boy, I was enjoying listening to Spurgeon's voice. I was in the car, listening to it. And then he said, I don't want Jesus to come in my lifetime. And I thought, what? He said, I want to die. I thought, this guy ought to be, he's retardo. I'm something wrong with him. He said, I want to go through what Jesus went through. And I said, Mr. Spurgeon, you're a better Christian than I am. I don't want to die. I don't want to go through the ordeal. But let me tell you something. I have confidence. I have assurance. When the time comes, brother, the hero is going to arrive in the nick of time. And there'll be grace. Dr. Bob Gray in Jacksonville, the real Bob Gray. He told about how he was on an airplane and how that the engine went out. And they were scared to death. He said he was as calm as could be. His mother said, why were you so calm? He said, because I knew it wasn't going to crash. Well, why? He said, because they always said, when time comes to die, you'll have grace to die. And I didn't have it. Oh, let me tell you, folks. Let me tell you. The cloud is coming up. You can see it on the way. You dread to see it. You wonder, how can I take it? How did others take it? They took it exactly the way you're going to take it. Grace is going to come in the nick of time. 1957. I got word that I was told that I had to support the liberal colleges of the Southern Baptist Convention. And let me remind you again, I wouldn't give one red cent to a college that doesn't believe that book is the Word of God. Not one red cent. And they said, if you stay in our Dallas Baptist Association, the Southern Baptist Convention, you support our colleges, or we'll vote you out. Well, I knew it was coming. But that's all I knew. I had never been anything else but Southern Baptist. I had spoken at the great Southern Baptist meetings, the state Sunday school convention, the state training union convention, before 5,000 people at Sunday school convention and 4,000 people at the state training convention, still in my 20s. I'd spoken before 7,000 people at the state convention, had been invited to speak before 16,000 at the National International Southern Baptist Convention. I was chosen 3 years in a row the pastor of the year of the 3,500 churches at Texas Baptist Convention. That was my life. All of a sudden it dawned on me, I was going to get voted out. And that day it came. I had to walk to my people the next Sunday after they'd seen in the headlines, Unbossable Church will not be Southern Baptist anymore. You're looking at an unbossable preacher, by the way. I'll never forget it. I stood outside the door. I stood in my study. Didn't want to leave that morning. I didn't want to face my people. How can I take it? When I walked through the door and walked behind my pulpit, I could have sung, "Everything's all right in my Father's house." There was a peace that came over me I could not explain to you. Grace arrived in the nick of time. And it will. I say it will. You sit in the house. Now, I see a battle down the road. Okay, on the way to the battle, you may not have the grace, but bless God, you get there. The time, it won't come early. It won't come late. But it won't stay home either. It'll be there in the nick of time. This thing about John Carroll up there this morning. I won't go through the story, except I remember one night John actually fought a man for me in church. I'll never forget it, John. We had a big battle here. One Wednesday night, a man came down to whip me, came right down to whip me. Of course, he couldn't. No man can. But he came down to whip me. And old John Leal, up the big John, saw him. He tackled him right over here. Tackled him right over there. We had a battle. And I had to face that battle. I recall that Sunday morning I had to come out with a whole story and tell the people that I would not stay here if we didn't pull out the American Baptist Convention. And I would not stay here unless we had separated Sunday school teachers and so forth. And we reorganized the whole church. And I stood outside the door. I dreaded to come in. It's been 40 years ago this next month, I think it was, maybe in June. I dreaded to come in. When I walked in, Grace was waiting at the pulpit. And a sweet peace came over this preacher. My mama was afraid to die. My sister will vouch for that because she worked for me. She has to vouch for everything I say. But my sister will vouch. My mother was afraid to die. I never knew a woman more afraid to die than my mother. Nor did I ever see a sweeter death. You can't believe the sweetness of my mother's death. You know why? She saw death coming. And I recall at 65 when she retired. Arlene and I went over and started singing, "When that old age pension check comes to our door, we won't have chicken and dumplings anymore." And we sang it. Now then, we get an old age pension check. But anyway, Mama was scared to death, and she saw it coming. But bless God, when she came to her deathbed at Howells Edison College Clinic, hey, Grace got there on time, and a hero came just in the nick of time. And I won't go into this because I don't want to. 11 years ago today, a cloud was coming up. And I was afraid as I saw it coming. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. Brother, when the time came, a peace of God flooded my soul, and it came, grace came, in the nick of time. I suffer for those of you who are suffering. But you know, it may be that those of us who are waiting suffering may be suffering more. It may be the waiting period is worse than the suffering itself. Because when the suffering comes, so does grace. It always arrives in the nick of time. I mentioned Paul O'Brien a while ago. Miss Howes and I stood at the bedside of Paul. And there he was, moving his
arms like that fighting, unable to be understood when he talked and not able to converse at all. I remember that day that Cindy started praying for Paul O'Brien to get saved. She was a little girl about that tall. I remember that day we walked by his house and we tried to win him to Christ, but he wouldn't. And I remember that Sunday morning he sat back there. And make a long story short, the most amazing service he's ever had. The choir was praying so hard for Paul O'Brien to get saved, they couldn't even sing the invitation song. And I went back, and several folks had gone back, and I went back to myself. And I said, Paul, I began to cry. And he said, you really care, don't you? And I said, Paul, I'd rather see you saved this morning than anything in the whole world. And Paul said, I can. Walked out, came down the aisle, and an old-fashioned revival broke out. And Paul O'Brien got saved. Oh, wait a minute. Rose, she's known for a long time this was coming. Clouds have been gathering for a long time. And I've seen Rose's brow furrowed in her face with a worried look on it. But when it came, this house will tell you. She's standing beside her husband, probably maybe on his last day. Smile. Graciously. You know why? I talked to her this morning a while. You know why? Because when the need came, so did grace. When the testing came, so did grace. And so this morning, those of you who are, see the cloud coming, go ahead. It's tough. It's rough. But look, take courage. Because our hero, grace, will arrive in the nick of time. So maybe I should comfort those today without heartache more than those with heartache. For grace has arrived for you. Maybe this morning I should comfort those not yet in the battle, but the battle's approaching. Maybe I should comfort you the most. But let me shout it to the housetops. Let me shout it to the housetops. Let me shout it to the housetops, when the burden comes, and the battle begins, and the heartache becomes reality. Let me remind you, our hero, grace, the grace of Almighty God, amazing grace, wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus. Let me announce to the housetops, it will be there on time, in the nick of time. Would you bow your heads, please?